The planes were taking off. Dwight was being dragged into the last one. Johnny looked at this setup. All okay. He rushed to the battle plane and got ready to start it. There was nobody left in the area. He took off. He jumped the ship to about 2,000 feet. The dam still looked big. The planes were landing in sandbag abutments on the other side. Stormalong had really gotten across and slammed them down in an awful hurry. Chief Chong Wan and his men were undercover.
"Fire in the hole!"
said Johnny on his mine radio. He flipped the guns to flame, narrow, and maximum. He checked his security belt. Now for some nice gunnery. At this moment, it all looked pretty peaceful down there. The blackened wreck was spilling flotsam as water went through its broken girders. The river was flowing right up to the dam lake. But the increased water was spilling under the dam below the lake, and it would be tearing that hole wider and wider. Johnny closed all windows with a flick of switches, made sure doors were all secure. Should he back up to 3,000? No, this was the best range. A battle plane could take a lot. But he had never heard of anybody setting off 150 gallons of liquid explosive before. Plus 1,000 feet of number 5 blast cord. He put his sights carefully on the center barrel. He pushed the gun trip. There was a flash across the whole sky before him. A curtain of green fire, 3,000 feet high. Crash! The recoil hit him and the plane went spinning skyward like a thrown toy. The yank of the security belt was like a blow. It knocked the wind out of him. 3 seconds later, he found he was upside down. He punched the console. The plane's balance motors caught up and righted it. He was flying backward. The whine of engines fought against the wrong direction. The plane steadied. Somebody would have to replace the windscreen. It had a diagonal crack in it. And then he saw the cliff. The smoke had cleared, and the whole cliff front was sliding down toward the lake in slow, slow motion. 500,000 cubic yards of rock moving down. A lot of it was apparently still in one piece, but that was an illusion. It was a clean slice of cliff, knifed off neatly. But inside it, the rock was cracked and shattered, and just before it hit the water, it lost shape and tumbled in fragments. It had looked at first like it hadn't left the bank, but there had been distance. Some of it struck nearly at the center of the lake. He watched the dam. Would it too crumble in slow motion, and this whole lake go roaring down the gorge? He had set it up so the shock wave would go into the air, not down and through the ground. It had gone into the air, all right. Witness what happened to his plane. The first wave hit the dam, and a splatter of water soared 100 feet above the dam top. Had he lost too much water there? No, that was just spray. Was the dam holding? He could not tell whether the underwater currents were carrying the rock into the low hole. He darted the plane sideways. Water was still roaring out under the dam. He watched. Was it his imagination that it was lessening? His attention was yanked off it by blue figures racing down to the powerhouse. They certainly had not waited. He looked at his watch. He only had 2 minutes to get this plane out of the air. With a pound on the console keys, Johnny lanced the plane down to an empty abutment. He killed its motor. He had to make sure it was off. His ears were ringing. 33 seconds left to go. That was cutting it close. He went through the underground passage into the cone. He looked at the pagoda. Not even a tile had moved in that blast. Angus was at the console, the small gray man at the computer. Angus waved and shouted,
"Power's on! We're firing!"
Thank you. End of CD 34.